the word and the message. I may not touch every verse, but as we're reading through, you'll get the message. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midian for 7 years. And the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. In other words, they made homes or hideouts in caves and in mountains because of the fear of these Midianites. So it was whenever Israel had sown or had farmed, Midianites would come up, and also the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth. In other words, their farmlands as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel. Leave nothing in the fields for Israel. Neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Wow. What an invasion. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Please mark that. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Remember, the first part was that the Lord departed from them. And for 7 years, the Lord was not with them, and they were suffering under the hands of the Midianites. But it reaches a point where now they have cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel. Now look, God sends a prophet. When there was a cry, there was a prayer, God now sends a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amalekites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Just let's pause there. They have, for 7 years, because they did evil in the sight of the Lord, or in the eyes of the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian for 7 years, and the hand of the Midian prevailed against them. In other words, for those 7 years, they could not be able to fight for themselves or resist the Midianites. The Midianites had a field. They came, the Bible is calling it, they came like locusts. They were numerous in numbers. They did not just come alone. They came with the Amalekites. They came with the people from the east. In other words, they called out other nations to come and invade the land of Israel. Because God has actually delivered the children of Israel into their hands. In other words, God is actually using them to punish these sons, his own sons, the children of Israel, who has done evil in his eyes. And for 7 years, he abandoned them. Now, you can imagine, brethren, an invasion to a country like Kenya. And nations have been invaded. We want to thank God that we have not had a period of war in this country, and especially this generation here. None of you have witnessed war. Our fathers, our parents did witness war, you know, as they were fighting for liberation. And it is a terrible thing. I remember my mother sharing with us what used to happen. They were actually uprooted from their homes completely, and they were put in a concentration, like in a village, all together. In other words, you're taken out of your farm, you're brought into a village there, you know, where all of you live together, children and women, because men had gone to the forest to fight. So for, you know, for whoever, the government or the Mzungus and those that had collaborated with him to win the war, they displaced people from their homes. It was a terrible thing to be displaced from your home. Now, this has not happened to us, this generation. And it is important that we understand that there are people who can suffer. Nations have suffered. Somalia has suffered. Up to today, there is no proper government or society in Somalia. There are nations that are in chaos. Sudan is in chaos. I can see Victor over there, our brother. Utieno is coming from Sudan. He can tell you the story. It's a terrible thing to be in a country where there is war. We need to pray for our nation and not take peace for granted. This peace is important to us. Now, let's go back to the story. So the Midianite comes. Now, these ones are not even coming to fight these people. They are coming to destroy their farmlands. They wait until they plant, and they are about to harvest, and they come in numerous, in droves. They don't come alone. They come with their camels, they come with their cattle, they come with their livestock to graze in those farmlands. And we are told when, by the time they are finished, there is no sustenance for the children of Israel. In other words, there is no food. Now, that is why they left homes to go and hide in caves. And they would run away with as much as they are able to get and go and hide with it there. Because if the Midianites come, they will take it away from them. But we are told, they cried to the Lord. Brethren, calling upon the name of the Lord at times of desperation, when you are in need, is a key to your deliverance. Do not be proud to express yourself to the Lord. Even if your pain and suffering is self-inflicted, even if you know and you are aware that you have defied the Lord, you have done that which is evil, and God may have forsaken you because of your iniquities. In other words, you ran away from him. You are no longer walking with the Lord. You are lost, deeply lost in sin. But while you are there, the Midianites, the people from the east, you've become their food. And life is not no longer easy for you. I'm trying to reach out to you who is seated at home or listening to me somewhere. You've walked away from God and you know it. You are no longer walking with the Lord. You have lived in sin and you are desperate now, you don't even know how to come out of it. These children of Israel were like you where you are. They abandoned God. And for 7 years, he also abandoned them and delivered them into the hands of their enemies. You walked away from God. There was a time you were a child of God. Perhaps you are even a minister of the gospel. but you walked away from him. Perhaps you were an intercessor. You used to pray. God used to give you burdens. You used to hear from the Lord. You no longer hear from him because you have disobeyed or you have walked away from him. Today, I have got good news for you. It is time to cry out. It is time to come out of your pain and of your troubles. You cannot continue to hide in caves, in dens. You know, some of you ran away from home and you're hiding in that bar. Every evening you are not at home because you cannot be able to take it and you think the bottle is the solution. By the morning, you're going through hangovers. You are in pain again. And by the evening, you are looking for the same bottle. This is a repetition. It's cycle after cycle. You are in a cycle now. You're going round and round and round. I want to tell you, there is deliverance today. Amen? There is deliverance today. And it is for free. But you have to call out to him. You have to seek his help. You have to accept that you need help and cry out for help. And I've got good news for you. He will not leave you like that alone. He listens. He hears. When they cried out, we are told, he sent a prophet to them. He sent a prophet, and the prophet had a message from the Lord, and he says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Also I say to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amalekites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now the prophet comes. Yes, you have cried. Yes, they cried, but the prophet was sent to remind them. There was a covenant. There was a message. I brought you out from the land of Egypt. I brought you out from your oppressors. I sent you to a land that was not yours. I gave you blessings that you never deserved. I gave you a job that you never qualified for. I gave you promotions in the midst, you know, of trials and temptation, those who hated you, but I was still with you and I raised you. I did all this for you. But I also warned you that where you have all, there are gods. There are evils, there are sins, there are iniquities, there are unrighteousness, there are habits that you must not involve yourself with all in. But he says, but you did not hear my voice. You disobeyed. In other words, what is God trying to do? He is trying to bring this person to the reality of why he has gone through what he has gone through. That it is not that God hated him, but he disobeyed. And as a result of disobedience, he has put himself in trouble. But God is gracious and merciful. Amen. We need to understand that God is gracious and merciful. But he is only gracious and merciful to those who cry out, who need help. There are some of us that are so proud within us that we are not ready to accept that we have fallen. Because we keep coming to church, we keep going to the fellowship, we keep interacting with other rather righteous people, and we think we are okay. Brethren, allow me to speak to us today. You cannot be righteous because you walk with righteous people. No, you cannot. Coming to church is good. Going for fellowship is good. Going for ministry, giving your tithes and offering is good. But it is not sufficient. Your walk with the Lord, He values your relationship with Him more than what you do for Him. Amen? And as much as we love you and we want to be with you, we want to embrace you as a sister, we want to embrace you as a brother, remember, there are Midianites, there are Amalekites, there are people from east, there are people who are watching, there are people who are waiting. They can see what you have. They can see the potential. They know you very well. They know you belong to God. They know you are a child of destiny. But they want to mess you up and enjoy you. And somehow God has also allowed them. Why? Because you too have walked away from God. I'm calling upon someone in this house today. Come back to the Lord, my sister. How long will you continue to suffer in a cave? Nothing prospers in your hand. You try this, it doesn't work. You try this, it doesn't work. You try that, it doesn't work. Why do you want to continue suffering? My brother, it is time to cry out to the Lord. Are we together, brethren? I know you are born again, yes. But allow me to speak to you. Your relationship with God matters. And you need to keep walking closer to Him. The reason why He told them, when you go to their land that I have given you, do not listen to their gods. Don't be attracted to their ways of worship. There is nothing good in them. I took away their possession and I have given it to you. Because they themselves have not known me and have disobeyed me. They worship other gods. The God you know and you worship is a true God. He is the one who brought you out of Egypt. And each one of us has an Egypt that we came from. Remember who you used to be before you came to the Lord. Remember how messy, confused you are. How hopeless you are. You had no name upon yourself. You had no value upon yourself. You came to the Lord, all that changed. He put some value on you. All of a sudden you're attractive. And God gave you that husband. Or He gave you that lady. Before then, no one wanted to hear about you. But today you have forgotten me. That's what the Lord is saying. He was telling them, children of Israel, you have forgotten me. You did not hear my instructions. You've opened door for yourself. You are in sin. But there is hope. Amen? There is hope. Let's continue with our reading. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press. Can you imagine somebody is threshing wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites? In other words, he was trying to confuse the Midianites. Because the Midianites have come, they know it's a wheat season. And when they look at the wheat threshing field, there is nobody. But Gideon is smart enough, he goes to the wine press. They will not imagine he is pressing wine. They are not interested in that. So, but he is there hiding there so that he can thresh his wheat. Otherwise, it will go with the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Amen. The angel of the Lord appeared to this man that is hiding, that is running away from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord says to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Hallelujah. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this mighty of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Let's pause there. The angel of the Lord appears to a man by name Gideon, who is hiding from the Midianites. But the angel of the Lord comes to him. And the angel of the Lord has a message. Remember, initially, the children of Israel did what? They cried out to the Lord. In other words, the entire nation has cried out to God because of the pain they have gone through. God has sent a prophet to speak to them, and he has stated to them the reason why they are going through what they are going through, giving them an opportunity not just to cry out, but also to repent, because it is not sufficient to cry out and there is no repentance. And many times there are people who cry out and they do not repent. God had to remind them of their mistakes, of their failures, of their sins, so that they can repent. And I believe they repented after they heard the prophets. We are not told the response, but we want to believe it happened, because then God, in response to their response, he sends an angel, and this angel now comes to one person, not to the entire nation. Praise the Lord. When God wants to deliver a nation, he will speak to one person, not to everyone. And that is why it is important for us to be able to be sensitive, so that we may be able to know which voice God has sent. Because there are times that people will not be able to identify the voice of the Lord. The angel comes to Gideon in a wine press where he is hiding. And this is how the angel addresses him. Verse 12 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" The Lord is with you, you great man, you powerful man. And Gideon is wondering, has this one lost his way? This is not the address he was coming to. Who is he talking to, calling a mighty man of valor? How can I be a mighty man of valor? And how can he say the Lord is with me? When all this has happened to us, when we are victims of the Midianites, when our crops are being destroyed. Yes, we heard from our forefathers that God delivered us. But how come he has now delivered us, given us the Midianites, and we are suffering? Where is this God? That was the kind of question that Gideon was asking this angel. Where is this God that you're talking about? We heard about him. Our forefathers told us about him. But we no longer see him. We no longer experience the miracles they told us about. We are suffering under the hands of the Midianites. Brethren, there are times that a nation or a nation can be abandoned by God. And a nation can go through terrible times. God can abandon a society. God can abandon a church even. God can abandon an individual. Even though he is a good God and loving God. Let's not assume that because he is gracious, that he tolerates our behaviors all the time. There are times he will abandon us. And this is what Gideon is trying to say. We have been abandoned. And then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this mighty of yours. I like that. Yeah, go in this what? Mighty of yours. God is not listening to his argument. He's trying to say, no, this cannot be. Narrating to the situation as it is. But God has already decided what he's going to do. He heard their cries. He heard their repentance. He's now coming to Gideon to deliver them through Gideon. And Gideon is not aware of God's intention and presence. He is busy trying to make a case before God. And God refuses to listen to him. Instead, he calls him mighty man of valor. Go with this, you are mighty. In other words, he's telling him, you are going to save these people. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Now look at how we look at our weaknesses. God has already called him the mighty man of valor. God has already told him, go in this mighty of yours. You shall save the Israelites from the land of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? God is saying, have I not sent you? And then his response, like Moses. Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. See? Indeed, my class is the weakening. You are the weakness in Manasseh. How can I serve in this ministry? How can I teach the children? I am not eloquent. How can I be the men's leader? How can I be the ladies' leader? How you, pastor, call me out to serve in the deacons? We look at our weaknesses. We point at our failures. We don't see our strength. Let's finish. I am the least in my father's house. He is the least in his tribe of Manasseh. He now comes even to his father's house. He is saying, I am also the least in my father's house. Will God hear anything like that? Verse 16. And the Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you. Thank God. God is still emphasizing to him. He has called him mighty man of valor. He has told him, go with your strength, you mighty man. God is still telling him he is a mighty man. But he's still looking at his tribe. He's still looking at his weaknesses, his inabilities, his lack of qualifications, his education level. Sometimes God will give you a task. He will want to give you a job, but you look at it and you dismiss it. I'm not going to apply for this one because I don't qualify for it. And from there, you disqualify yourself. And God wants to give you a job that you have not qualified for. Because how is God going to be glorified? If he gives you a job that you are qualified for, you'll be saying, I am qualified for this job. But when he gives you a job that you are not qualified for, then he is going to be glorified. And that's why he doesn't want you to look at your weaknesses. Yes, you can look at your weaknesses. But he says, I am the one who is sending you. I'm the one who has called you. I know your capacity. But I'm the one who build capacities. I can expand. I can create. I can give you more skills. My brother, my sister, don't be afraid to take up that position. Go for it. When they advertise for a CEO job, apply. There is nothing wrong in applying. Amen? Oh, I have not done this and this and this. Apply. What if you be the only one who has applied? You don't know about the others. You're fearing others. You may be the only one that will be qualified for the job. Amen? So take risk, brethren. Allow me to first of all stop that and challenge you. Because in the house of God, we are very careful. We don't want to take risk. We fear failures. Let me tell you something. Anyone who fears to fail does not have faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear diminishes faith. Whatever you fear destroys you. Amen? Why am I saying this to us? Because we must arise and discover who we are. There is mightiness in us that you have not discovered. There is mightiness in you that you have never exploited. There are skills in you that you've never exploited. Because you keep looking inward at your weaknesses. You keep remembering where you came from. Your family of Manasseh is the smallest tribe. In other words, actually it was called half tribe of Manasseh. We don't know where the other half went. So it's even a half tribe. It's the smallest of all the tribes. And then you come to your father and you say, I'm probably the last born or the weakest. The others are all graduates. I'm the only one who never made it to campus. And you've been looking at that all through. That is your enemy. And that is fear. We must arise from our fears and apply faith. For we are sons and daughters of the King. And he does not see you he doesn't even call you by the name you call yourself or you are called by others. He calls you Mighty Woman of Valor. The women failed, missed an opportunity to say amen. I know, God Gideon, of course the scripture says Mighty Man of Valor. But what would have happened if she was a lady? The angel would have said, called her Mighty Woman of? Yes. So there is something in you that you have never discovered. And God, if you forget everything else, because I'm closing, we cannot be able to continue with this. We will continue next time. I am closing. But before I close, I want you to look at the way God addresses Gideon. In verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this mighty of yours. Amen. God is saying, go in this mighty of yours. Brethren, what you think you are is not what God thinks you are. Did you get me? I said, I'm closing, but I want you to close with this. What you've been calling yourself is not what God calls you. Many of you are afraid to call yourself a mighty man of valor. Many of you are afraid even to call yourself a child of God. Yet you are a child of God. You identify yourself with your clan and your tribe. And then you come back to your house, the house of your father. You identify yourself with that house. All these are limitations that limit you. You are not able to get to your position, to where you are and to who you are. Because what you know is where you have come from, the tribe you have come from, the house you have come from. And when you look back now, you look at your record, the mistakes that you have done in life, the weaknesses, the sins that have been on your life, you've not dealt with any one of those. And those are the things that identify you. Today I want to tell you something different. When God appears to you, when he decides that it is you that he's using, he comes to you with a name that he gave you even before you came into this world. Did you get that? Remember, he told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew what? Do you know that before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you? It's not a coincidence you are living today. God planned for your life before you even came to this world. He knows you by the name he gave you. Amen? For Gideon, he gave him mighty man of valor. Not the day the angel appeared to him. The day he created him, he knew the assignment that he would undertake. Despite him being born at a time when the children of Israel were going through suffering because of the iniquities, their own iniquities. You may be living today, but you have an assignment. It doesn't matter how the situation is in your family. God has a name for you. And that name, it is not the one you identify yourself with. Amen? We better start listening to what God is saying to us. And God speaks to us through people who speak to you. God is speaking to somebody. As I speak to you, God is speaking to you. When you take the Bible and you read, there is time that God will speak to you through that scripture. Accept that God is calling you and speaking to you. God has an assignment for each one of us. We probably, when we come back, but if you, I would like you to read the story that later Gideon accepted, and even as he accepted, he still wanted to be sure of what is happening, and there is the famous Gideon freeze that he put on the floor for God to confirm there is nothing again wrong. This time he is not doubting God. He is telling, now I believe, but if you, for me to be sure, he is not giving excuses this time. He said, for me to be sure that indeed you are going to use me to deliver these people, this is what I want you to do. There's nothing wrong in asking for an assurance from God. It is not a sign of lack of faith. And God will prove to you that indeed he is with you. Amen? God used him to deliver the children of Israel. Just read through. You'll enjoy the story. He went to the army. Or rather, he went to war with thousands and thousands. I think there were 37,000 or so of people to attack the Midianites. He prepared a huge army because the Midianites were also numerous. But at the end of the day, if you remember the story, God used how many people? How many? 300 only. The less. That is something, thousands, we are told, go home. Why? And God said, because if I allowed you to go to battle with this army, you, the children of Israel will say, it is by our power that we delivered ourselves from the hands of the Midianite. But he took him with an army, 300 people against hundreds of thousands of soldiers of the other side, and they defeated the Midianites. But the message that I wanted you to capture today is that God, who has called you, will also equip you, and he has equipped you. When he gives you an assignment, he knows that you have the capacity to undertake that assignment. You can do it. And stop calling yourself by the name that people call you or what you think you are. You are not just that clerk in that office. You are a child of God. You can rise from there to be the CEO of that company. Amen? Tunaelewana? It is faith, but faith with action. You don't just say, I'm praying to be the CEO. I'm a clerk, but I'll become a CEO. You remain a clerk forever. Prayer is not just prayer. It is prayer and handwork, because you must prove. And as you work, the Lord has promised to bless the work of our hands. May we not become lazy people. May we go out there and exploit the giftings that God has put in our lives and work out. And any assignment that God gives you, you will undertake. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Father God, we are grateful for this day. Thank you for the word that has come to us to encourage us. You know us by the name that you gave us. And we are the mighty people of valor. We will go by the strength that we have, which you have given us. It is not by works or by might, but it is by your spirit. We will conquer mountains. We'll climb mountains, Lord Jesus. We will do exploits, everlasting Redeemer. We will capture territories, Jesus Christ. This house shall be full of people. We will call them, we will witness, and as we witness, they shall come, Lord. We will do what your will is, because you have called us to be your children. We are not scared, because you are on our side. The Midianites may be many, but you are more. We are more because you are with us. And with you, Lord, we shall conquer the enemy. Today we decree and declare that we shall move by your power and by your might. We will save our societies. We will save our nations. God, we thank you. We will save members of our family. We give honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Perhaps you are here or there at home. You've not given your life to Jesus. I give you an opportunity to say yes to the Lord. And you can do it your way. If you're here, you can lift up your hand. I can see that hand. I'll see the hand and pray with you. If you're at home, you can just speak to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows who you are by your name. You also know who you are. Cry out to him. And as you cry out, we said, also repent. Turn away from your wicked ways and come to the Lord. And your life will be transformed. And God will use you to save your family and to save